What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Westside Sports Podcast. It is a beautiful day here on April 15th, 2024 in the Pacific Northwest. As always, I am your host, Dakota Ezri. Welcome into today's podcast. First and foremost, if you like this overall conversation, the topics, and the conversation that comes along with it, please do me a huge favor. Subscribe. Please subscribe. That means the world to me. I'm trying to get this brand to grow. I am in the process of working with another podcast. It's a much bigger one than mine here in the Seattle region, of trying to get you guys a larger network, a larger brand, more content. So stay tuned for that. For those of you who have asked or reached out about merchandise, that is something I'm still trying to maybe feasibly do. To be honest with you guys, I don't make money off this podcast. That's not the reason why I make this podcast, but if I make merch, I have to spend money to do that. So for those of you who have asked, I'm in the process of doing so. I've been transferring between jobs, so revenue's been a little tighter, income's been a little tighter, so we have to be a little bit more strict on what we have to spend the old moolah on. However, today's podcast is going to be a bit of a roller coaster. I'm giving you a heads up ahead of time. I'm trying to make the valleys not so low and the mountains not so high. This has been a rough start to the season for our Seattle Mariners. I can't sugarcoat it, and I won't sugarcoat it, because sugarcoating does me absolutely nothing. And to be honest, people tune in to me because they want the God's honest truth, right? So with that being said, thank you guys so much for tuning in and listening. I greatly appreciate it. We're going to start off by looking at the series and reviewing and, or I guess, recapping the series that it was against the Chicago Cubs. And then we'll go over some other things. We'll talk about the struggles of Julio. I'm going to touch on Luis's start, which is by far the best of the season. The lineup issues are going to be something we need to address as well. Jonathan Clase's call-up, the series upcoming preview versus the Reds. And then I got a little bit of a uncomfortable conversation we're going to have here at the end. So stay tuned. I hope you stay with me until the very end. Let's get into it, okay? First and foremost, apologies for the scatterbrainedness of this open. If you enjoy this conversation, please do me a huge favor and just subscribe. It takes 2 seconds. It's a finger click away. If you're looking for podcast platforms, you can find this on. I am on every single podcast platform known to man. Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts doesn't exist anymore. Spotify, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, I'm on all of it. So you can find me there. Please tune in if you enjoy the overall conversation. I greatly appreciate it. The Mariners sit at 6-10. And I'll be honest, it doesn't even feel like 6-10. It feels like we've won 3 games this season. Just brass tacks behind the curtain. I'm just being strictly honest with you guys, right? This team has been rough to watch. And rough, with all due respect, is a polite way to watch it. I'm going to try and keep this podcast as clean as I can today. Some podcasts, I get pretty fired up and we get a little bit of colorful language. We're going to try and steer away from that today. If you enjoy those podcasts, apologies. I'm going to do my best to not do that today, because we got a lot of content here. First and foremost, the series loss versus the Chicago Cubs. The Mariners had no reason to lose this series. This series was at home. You were able to come back off of that god-awful road trip with Milwaukee and everywhere else we went, right? Where it just seemed like we couldn't do a dang thing right. You looked at this team and you looked at our offensive production just isn't going to cut it. And that's where I'm going to start, first and foremost. The offensive production of this team just isn't going to cut the cheese, ladies and gentlemen. It just isn't. The top 4 hitters in our lineup, J.P. Crawford, Julio Rodriguez, Mitch Garver, and Cal Raleigh, have combined a top 3 worst OPS. For those of you who don't know OPS, that is on base percentage plus slugging, in all of baseball. We are one of the 3 worst teams hitting, with the top 4 hitters on our team arguably, which now we've seen the lineup change and been augmented lately because of said struggles, and all of baseball. It's not acceptable. And I know it's easy to say, and it's, I don't want to make it short-sighted, or I'm not trying to, you know, cut the conversation off, but when you have the quality of players that is on this team, right? We all know how good J.P. Crawford can be. We obviously all know how good Julio Rodriguez can be, right? We know how good Cal Raleigh can be. But why aren't we seeing it? First and foremost, I think it's pressing. I think that there is a tremendous amount of pressure that they are placing upon themselves purely based upon performance, which as a professional athlete makes a whole lick of sense, doesn't it? Your job is to perform. You're an entertainer. That is the brass tacks of how sports work, right? I'm not trying to preach to the choir, and apologies if I am, right? But I keep hearing this narrative about, oh, well, T-Mobile Park this and T-Mobile Park that. And I understand this ballpark that we have, this beautiful, beautiful ballpark that we have, right? Aesthetics are not the problem. The problem is that the field is known, the ballpark is known for limiting hard contact. And if you hit the hard, if you have hard contact, the ball does not carry as well. However, we've seen guys like Jorge Soler come in last year and hit an absolute piss missile like 115 miles an hour. And it goes, I don't know, I swear it was like 12 feet off the air, like a frozen rope to dead center field, the deepest part of the ballpark. So I feel like I don't want to speak out both sides of my mouth here because that's one of my biggest pet peeves with people on podcasts in general, which I try not to do here. But you've seen examples of guys come in here and hit the ball. So if you're with this team and you've been with this team long enough to understand and recognize and acknowledge what the ballpark and how the ballpark will play, then you need to figure out a way to play a style of baseball that is conducive, to producing runs. Right? You need to play to the hand, right? I'm going to make a blackjack analogy, and I suck at playing cards, right? But when you're playing blackjack, if you get a certain card, you should have an expectation of what you're looking for to maximize your hand, to take advantage of the situation. When the flop comes down, you get your three cards and blah, 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 right? The Mariners need to realize, and this is why they brought in Brant Brown, and quite frankly, I don't understand why the hitting policies or the hitting dynamics or the hitting plan, whatever you want to call it, isn't being followed. Clearly it's not. Brant Brown says, we need to stop worrying about the long ball. And thank goodness, because we've lived and died by it for years. The Jack Zirinsik era was synonymous with hitting home runs. It's all it was known for. And I'm just wanting that to be flushed down the proverbial cheap toilets in our bathrooms at T-Mobile Park, right? So the series versus this Cubs team, right? The Cubs came in, and what do? They hit the ball over the fence. Seiya Suzuki, home run. Michael Busch, who, for the record, I barely knew who he was. I knew he was a prospect. He was a top consensus prospect in MLB Pipeline for the last year and change. Because I do follow a lot of the MLB Pipeline conversation, mostly for our Mariners prospects, right? Blah, blah, blah. However, this guy came in and hit home run after home run after home run. And it baffles me. It baffles me to the point where I have to ask the feasible conversation is, again, why can teams come into our park? I know I'm on a little bit of a side tangent here, but I feel like this is a conversation that a lot of people have, right? Or have been wondering. Why do teams come in here and hit the ball over the fence, but yet our players that we have, that we bring in, and we have grown, struggle to do so? It's a great question. I wish I had an answer for you, and I hate giving questions I don't have the answers to because, I don't know, I'm not trying to sound like I'm just, you know, not prepared for this, but this is a conversation that needs to be had. Last year, we watched the Pirates come in here and hit 7 home runs against us. Last year, we watched the Baltimore Orioles come in and hit 6 home runs in our ballpark in a game off George Kirby. You can hit the ball over the fence. You need to have confidence, right? And so some people are going to say, well, if you don't have confidence, how can you be a professional athlete? That is a great question. And that great question needs a great answer. And that great answer is just it's not to be had. It's not to be found right now. So the series loss sucks. We should have won this. Shota Imanaga, if I believe I pronounced that name correctly, apologies if I didn't. We should have rocked him. He wasn't good. He was just frustrating. Frustrating for the fact that he threw, I think, like a 71% fastball rate. It was absurd. And what is the one thing our Mariners haven't seen all season? Fastballs. What did we know to be hitting of? And the whole league was like, oh, well, if you throw them off speed and throw them slurves and throw them sweepers, they won't touch it. Hence the Boston series and hence everything else that came afterwards, right? But it comes to a point where your best players just need to perform at a level that they're capable of, right? Last year, we heard ad nauseum from Jerry on 710, which I think for the record doesn't exist anymore, or if it does, they are prolonging this as long as they can, which I don't blame Jerry. However, you need to find a way to get your best players to perform to the back of their baseball card. There's no reason why Julio Rodriguez in year three should be struggling the way he is. And I guess that's a seamless transition to talk about Julio, but this is going to be the hardest part of this podcast that I'm going to try and keep clean because there's just so much frustration with this. You are year three in the Major League Baseball Association, Julio Rodriguez, Julio Yarnell Rodriguez, our North Star, right? As I like to call him, right? So when you get taken off the field for the day, because you needed a day off, which he definitely did. I think that's the first day off he's had all season. It begs the question of why. And so we're going to say, what do you mean why? Why is Julio Rodriguez struggling like he does every single year to start the baseball season? Some people will say he's just a slow starter. You wouldn't be wrong. I couldn't disagree with you. But what I would say is it's not appropriate and it's not excusable. This man has the talent to be the MVP of the American League. Every Mariners fan, or I should say not every, if you're a Mariners fan that has watched his growth and has seen his ability, you know the talent is there. The ability is there. But when, this is my personal opinion, and I don't usually put a lot of personal opinion on this podcast, and if you disagree with me, please let me know on socials, right? I think he's too big. I think he's too big. Too much muscle. There's too much physical mass to swing through. He scares me like a Giancarlo Stanton, right? Stanton at least hits the ball over the fence. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be agnostic. I'm not trying to egg people on. However, the facts are what they are. Julio Rodriguez has one extra base hit on the season, ladies and gentlemen, on opening day with the double. That is it. He has a problem swinging at anything off speed that's going across the plate like he did last year. Last year it was sweepers and sliders off the plate. This year we're seeing the changeup being a problem. We heard in the offseason ad nauseum about how great he looked from 710 and Jeff Passan and everybody else, right? Well, with all due respect, that means nothing. It doesn't matter how well you train in the offseason. You have to be able to translate your training to on-field performance or else what you train for means nothing. Nothing. If you can't step onto the field and perform at least 100 WRC plus, which is the equivalency of league average, there is a bigger problem at hand. This is just what the brass tax facts are, right? But he has the capability to get out of this rut, right? We've seen this before. He has a slow start. He gets into May. He's hitting 250 in May. We get to June. He hits 270. We hit, July in the warmer months, and he just gets on this torrid pace. However, this is the same conversation we've had for 3 years now. So why do we keep repeating ourselves? The definition of insanity is repeating the same thing over and over and over again and expecting a different result. And this is driving me freaking insane. And like all the other Mariners fans who are losing their mind. And I'll be honest, I lost my mind yesterday on Twitter. Entirely. I will be honest. And some people are going to say this might not be the greatest thing to say on your podcast, but I have the integrity to be honest. Because if I were to say something on here and be it different than there, it would be disingenuous and people would have no reason to listen to this podcast or follow me, right? I said, and I quote, Julio Rodriguez should be demoted to AAA. I said it. I did. And some people are going to say, dude, are you kidding me? What the heck, man? Like, what are you? That doesn't do anything. Like, that, he can't learn anything. The thing that he needs to learn is a lesson, right? And sometimes the big time athletes, the guys who are the face of their franchise, one of the faces of baseball, they just simply put too much pressure on themselves and they will crumble. I'm not saying Julio Rodriguez is going to crumble. I don't have a crystal ball. I don't have the ability to look into the future, right? But the stats are what they are. A sub 200 batting average, a sub 400 OPS. These are facts that you cannot ignore. The struggle is real for Julio. And whatever he needs to do, if he needs to spend a week in a drive line, I don't know if he's got a personal issue or if he's allowing a personal issue to go into his professional job. Who knows? Because I'm not privy to that information, right? I'm just a Joe. I'm just a Jimmy, right? However, like I said, I'm not trying to repeat myself or be redundant. The facts are what they are. Julio needs some kind of adjustment, and he's been doing an adjustment damn near every other day. To start the season, he was in a stand-up stance, or his stance was more in a stand-up position, excuse me. Now we're seeing more of a more knees-bent, lower-crouch stance. So clearly he understands the struggle, he understands that he needs to figure it out, and he's trying to put the work in. And again, he's 23 years old. I'm not excusing the piss poor performance for the age, but I'm trying to give a caveat to say some players just take longer to get it figured out. And I've heard from some people and they've asked me, and this is a valid question. Should the Mariners have waited to give Julio Rodriguez the 14-year contract? That's a great question. A part of me says yes, a part of me says no. We can have that conversation for a different day, right? That's not what I'm trying to get into here. But we need to acknowledge the struggle. We need to acknowledge the fact that he's in his head. We need to acknowledge the fact that him being picked off yesterday at first base is inexcusable. With all due respect, Scott, I don't want to hear it. If anything, Scott, and I try my damnest to be as understanding and try to level with somebody. Can I try to level with you? Can I get down to your level, Scott? Right? Which for most of us is hard, right? But you just can't say that the reason why we lost the game is because Julio Rodriguez got picked up at first base. Because it's not the whole reason, but it's a microcosm of the entire problem. Because clearly his head is not in baseball. This team's head is not in baseball. If it wasn't for Jorge Polanco, who's been a 120 WRC plus since the Brewers series, if it hasn't been for Ty France, who is the best hitter on this team, if it's not for Dominic Canzone and Josh Rojas, this team would suck. This team would be garbage. We would have 3 wins on the season. You have to hit the baseball. You just have to figure it out. I don't care what you have to do. Get a players only meeting. Call out your superstar and make him accountable. We've seen this with our team across the street with the Seahawks for 14 years. Pete Carroll's held guys to a standard. This is what we do. Either you do what we do, or we'll find somebody else who can do it. I'm not saying we're going to replace Julio. That's absurd. That's a stupid conversation, right? However, there is a standard that needs to be upheld. You need to hold guys to a athletic ability level. And if you can't perform to the level to help this team compete to win a baseball game, you need to find somebody who can. And if that means you need to give Julio an entire series off or 2 days off in a row, do it. If that means you need to, instead of saying, oh, well, we put our fastest runner on first base, blah, 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 blah. Scott, I'm sorry. I don't want to hear that. I don't. It falls on deaf ears for me personally and a lot of other fans. Because it was the last out of the game, Scott. What do you expect us to feel? We're fans. Some of us are more emotional than others, right? Can we just figure it out? Can we just play decent baseball for one series? We don't have a series win on the season. I'm going to leave that there. Luis Castillo, best start of the season yesterday. He looked pretty good. To start the game, he was making me nervous. Very, very, very nervous. Because I saw the ball running over both sides of the plate, lack of command, control, blah, 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 right? The conversation goes on. However, when you have your ace pitcher, who, in my personal opinion, has not pitched it as an ace level based upon his stats. However, you had your best chance to win a game yesterday, right? And the fact that Luis had 9 strikeouts, 6 innings pitched, is what you need. That's how you get deeper into ball games. You lighten the load on your bullpen. You find a way to make the win possible versus find a way to just throw the loss down the drain. This is going to be a bit of an odd transition, so just walk with me here, right? Fanatics, whoever, MLB, I don't know who this problem comes with. The fact the Mariners still don't have their Sunday cream jerseys is inexcusable. It is absolutely inexcusable. We are now nearly a month into the baseball season. Still don't have the Sunday creams. Disappointing. I'm going to leave that there. Because there is no feasible reason within a shadow of a doubt why we don't have the jerseys on hand. I know it's a boring topic. I know that's a weird conversation. That is something I get really heated about. I'm just gonna leave that at the doorstep. And speaking of the doorstep, welcome to the Major League Baseball, MLB, number 10 prospect in MLB pipeline, Jonathan Clase. If you do not know who Jonathan Clase is, he is one of the fastest guys in baseball. He will be. He will show up and be one of the quickest guys in baseball. He's going to bring plus speed. He's going to bring athleticism. He's going to bring stealing ability on the bases. The Mariners are one of the top 3 teams in baseball with the least amount of steals, which, again, is a hard thing to admit, and it's a hard kind of baseball to watch. Speed kills. That's why people like basketball. It's fast-moving, fast-paced, right? But with Clase coming up, this will allow maybe Julio to have another extra day off or two. Maybe this allows for, you know, obviously he's going to take the spot of Dominic Canzone, which was announced yesterday. He had a sprained AC joint from him slamming into the wall. This sucks because Canzone's been a pretty important part of the Mariners season so far without Clase, or without, excuse me, Canzone. And maybe then we watch more Luke Rayleigh. I don't know what exactly is going on with Luke Rayleigh. I don't know if Luke Rayleigh has some black book on Scott. I don't know if it's just they don't trust his physical profile, or maybe he's hurt. Who knows? But what I can tell you is that Clase will be fun to watch, and I hope he gets his MLB debut tonight. I anticipate with them bringing him up the way they did pretty quickly that he will get the start tonight versus the Reds. And speaking of the Reds, oh boy, this is going to be where my patience gets tested. George Kirby, I need you to shove the baseball down the mound. You need to attack like a pissed off bulldog, right? Tasmanian devil. Unleash the, like, whatever term you want to use, right? Whatever analogy, synonym, you know, whatever you want to use, acronym, whatever you want to use, right? George Kirby, you're on my spotlight right now. I have not liked your body language on the mound as well as off the mound. I do not like the way you were talking to media post-game in Toronto after you crapped the bed for the second start in a row. There is a lot on the shoulders of George Kirby. We understand that as Mariners fans. There's a lot of expectation riding on his shoulders, which can put a lot of additional pressure. I understand that. I acknowledge that. George Kirby, you have the ability to be one of the best pitchers in baseball. You need to just figure it out. Simple as that. Let's get it done tonight. Series starts versus the Reds. If those of you who are interested in sitting in the J-Rod squad section, you need to understand and be privy to the information that the ticket prices for the J-Rod squad section have increased 60% following the series in Milwaukee. For those of you who want to sit in there, please be aware of that going forward. And that's going to do it for today's podcast. I hope you guys enjoyed this content. Just a different kind of vibe today, just recapping everything, kind of touching on some of the high points, the low points. If you enjoy this conversation, again, please, please subscribe, leave a rating. Please, please, please leave a rating. I am in the process of trying to maybe do a giveaway for people to encourage and entice people to come in and leave ratings, reviews, stuff like that. But without the ratings and reviews, I don't know how you guys appreciate this podcast. And with that being said, hope you guys have a blessed rest of your day. And I'll catch you guys next time. See us rise. Tridents up. Kirby, just get it done, baby. Peace.